Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
It is Sammy Sosa Day.
There's going to be I'll just call it a Sammy Sosa energy in the ballpark today.
Let's go to Tony on the Odyssey app. Tony, you're on 670 The Score.
As far as steroids go, even Grody, you pretty much know absolutely nothing about steroids. All you know is what the media is telling you. It's all BS because steroids are legal now.
Folks, put your seatbelts on. This could be a bumpy ride.
Are you telling me that HGH and steroids didn't contribute to somebody hitting 73 home runs in Major League Baseball? You're right. Well, I don't know the ins and outs and the chemical makeups of steroids and HGH, but I damn well know that there's a correlation with the amount of home runs Sammy Sosa hit and Barry Bonds as well. And you know that too, man.
I don't know that.
You do know that.
Okay, then if
that.
You don't know that,
you're smarter
than
that.
That means you haven't done enough research on the actual effects and the benefits
or of
steroids.
Or you haven't watched baseball.
How do you the recovery?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
Give it to me.
Well,
lay it
okay,
on
there's
me.
A huge problem.
Lay it on
a huge
me.
Problem with, no, I will. You're going to discredit 20 years of working out, all the training, all the everything there, because you found out he took a shot.
We're giving out the
no,
truth.
You don't.
The truth
you
is, this
no
guy.
Idea. You don't know. You're assuming.
What do you mean
you're
I don't know?
We are all dumber for having listened to that.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen, if you think steroids didn't have an effect on an era that's called the steroids era, maybe you should, I don't know, read a book. Read a book, read an article. Don't go online and social media to do it. Go find actual credible doctors and whatnot to tell you what's going on. I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest before we get started with a Monday edition of Rahimi and Harris. Layla has the day off, so in her stead, we welcome in Yahoo National Baseball Insider and an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV, Russell Dorsey.
Hey, what's going on, Marshall?
I know those sleeves aren't going on. If you know Russell Dorsey and his game plan, yes, if you know what he's about, and if you are on the Twitch feed, you understand that Russell Dorsey right now has no sleeves on because he's true to form.
If there was a week to not have sleeves on.
Okay, that's a good point.
It's definitely this week. Humid, hot. My parents actually, I saw them yesterday and they knew I was going to be on the show. And my mom goes, are you going to wear sleeves? And I'm like, Mom, I got to stay true to who I am. Like, you know your son is going to come outside.
Yeah, authenticity greater for Russell Dorsey. If you want to watch us on Twitch, you can do that. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Also, if you have questions for Russell, if you want to call and let us know how you feel about the Cubs after dropping, what, 4 of their last 5, the series against the Mariners at home, giving up way too many home runs, although they did out-homer the Mariners 11-10 as both teams combined for 21 over a loss, losing 2 out of 3 to Seattle. Do that. 312-644-6767. We are taking your phone calls. We are reading your texts. Behind the glass, it's Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz holding it down. Also dealing with that Twitch feed, Connor O'Donnell, Brian Gertsch, they're doing it. And a reminder, the Cubs, they do travel to St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:10 right here on 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. But Russ, let's get right into it. 21 home runs over the weekend between these two teams. I apologize to you because I said bullpen isn't really an issue right now. They went through a stretch of over a month in which the Cubs bullpen had an ERA under 1.
Yeah.
That is good. Over the weekend, the pen gave up 15 earned runs in 11 innings and contributed to why the Cubs lost 2 out of 3. And it wasn't just like a guy gave up some runs. You look down the list. on Friday, Ryan Pressly, 2 earned runs. Caleb Philbar comes in, gives up a home run to guess who? Cal Raleigh, because that's what
big
he did
dumper.
Over the weekend. Yeah, big thumper.
Bad boy.
He's a bad man.
Yeah.
Ryan Brazier, he got through there scoreless, but Yenesis Cabrera, we hardly knew you. He gives up 3 earned runs in an inning and is immediately demoted. Saturday, Drew Pomerantz gives up no runs as he keeps his scoreless appearances streak alive, but he did give up 4 hits on the way to giving up that. And then Brad Keller, he gives up, he actually got the win as he gives up nothing over 1 2/3. And then Caleb Philbar did a better job on Saturday than on Friday, and then things got ugly on Sunday. Cubs trying to hang around, but Chris Flexen gave up 2 earned runs in 1 2/3. And then I mentioned Yenesis Cabrera, he got demoted. They called up Nate Pearson. Let's take another look at Nate Pearson. the look was very much the same. He gave up 5 earned runs in 2 innings because somebody had to pitch. How concerned are you and how concerned should we be about the Cubs' bullpen?
So I want to start here. I think when you look at what the Cubs had done in their bullpen over the last month, they had been one of the best units, if not the best unit in Major League Baseball, right? And when I told you they still needed bullpen help and depth, I saw everything they had been doing. It was great. They were finding guys. They were figuring it out. What Craig Counsell has done since he was back in Milwaukee was be able to figure out a bullpen with guys that aren't necessarily the most elite high-leverage arms that people might know, right? It's like mixing and matching, putting together a puzzle. And for me, I still saw a need there because guys were going to come back to earth. It's the nature of baseball. And when you're talking about teams that are trying to get to the postseason and teams that have success in the postseason, it's about rotations in the regular season. It's about the bullpen in the postseason. And I looked at a team like the Chicago Cubs that still needed more oomph in the back end. I like what they had been doing. But just over a long season, you're going to have some regression. And in that moment of regression, you're going to need other high-leverage arms. Because Brad Keller, Drew Pomerantz, right, Ryan Brazier, Chris Flexen, those guys had done a great job. Palencia, like, they'd figured out at least what their mix was going to be. I do still think I look at the Cubs and I say, if they had a guy that you could say night in and night out, we're turning to this guy – and it's going to be 3 up, 3 down in the 7th, 8th, or 9th, you go get that guy.
You feel like they don't have that guy currently in their bullpen at all? I mean, you look at guys such as Daniel Palencia, you mentioned. I saw what he gave up to the big thumper, but who didn't give up something to Cal Raleigh over the past
week? Which is going to happen. Like,
yes.
Bullpen, they're allowed, especially after the month that they had. Like, you're going to have a weekend or a week where your bullpen isn't going to be quite as shut down. Also, it's a very hot week here in the city of Chicago, hot weekend. Ball is flying. As a matter of fact, the ball is flying throughout Major League Baseball because it's hot everywhere. Right now, I was looking at the Mets-Philly series in Philly. Ball was flying. And so I think you take that into account as well and say, okay, situation, hot weekend, you know the ball is going to fly. You said 21 homers?
Yes.
In the weekend? That's a lot of homers. If you like homers, this was the weekend in the series for you.
Well, everybody loves homers. As we talk with Russell Dorsey, who's in for Layla Rahimi today on Rahimi and Harris, about the Cubs, their disposition, the fact that they look at the standings, and what was a bigger lead is now a smaller lead as they start a 4-game series with the Cardinals in St. Louis. Hard to believe, Russ, that this is the first time they're seeing St. Louis this season.
It usually doesn't happen this late, right? Like, you at least see them in April or May, usually maybe a Memorial Day weekend series. But no, it's strange that it's happened this late. And now it's increased some of the intrigue because the Cardinals, who had not been playing well, have a nice little get-right series against the White Sox, and now they've kind of turned where they were. Don't look at me like that,
who
Marshall.
Who doesn't get right against the White Sox? Oh, wait, I know who. The Toronto Blue Jays.
They did not get right. And so now the Cardinals are playing with a little bit more confidence against their rival, the Chicago Cubs, and should be motivated at home playing the Cubs where we are in the NL Central.
Cubs fans won't like to hear this, but this is what makes for great baseball, the fact that there are these extra wild card spots that we didn't have years ago. It's hard to believe, but like when I was growing up, 4 teams made the playoffs for us.
Yeah.
4 teams made the playoffs. Before the wild card, you won your division, you were in the playoffs. You lost your divisions, didn't matter if you had 95, 100 wins, you did not go to the playoffs. So I'm glad we've evolved to this point where baseball means more for more cities, more fan bases throughout the season. But I look at these National League Central standings, the Cubs 15 games over 500, not far back from having the best record in all of baseball. But still, now 8 games over .500 are the Brewers, who have won 4 straight. Now the Cardinals, 6 games over .500. They're only 4.5 back. In St. Louis's mind, they're like, hey, even if we only take 3 out of 4, as long as we win this series, we're right there within striking distance of the Cubs.
And we talked about this on the show before. Do I believe that the St. Louis Cardinals are a better team than the Chicago Cubs? No. But they've gotten themselves within striking distance. And with the way the Cubs have been playing right now, not playing their best baseball of the season, if the Cardinals happen to have a series where they're able to win it or even sweep the Chicago Cubs, now we're having a much different conversation this time next week.
That's the voice of Russell Dorsey, who is here for the whole show.
Whole show.
To talk baseball and a whole lot more. A reminder, we're going to have Trista Crick coming up at 11 o'clock. And also, we are taking your phone calls. You tell us how you feel about where the Cubs are right now. 312-644-6767. We will talk more about that, plus the Bruce Levine comments about 7 to 10 days. The Cubs are going after a starter. That is early in the timetable. We'll talk about that a little bit next segment. But I want to get back into the Cubs. The Cubs are scoring runs. That was not the case just a short time ago. Here's my issue with where the Cubs are right now. 22-6 against sub-500 teams. Mm-hmm. 24-25 against teams 500 and better. That is not great. You want to see a winning record against other winning teams, but they are dominating the teams that they are supposed to. And even though the Cubs gave up 38 runs and losing 3 of their last 4, they scored 27 runs over that span, and they didn't score any less than 4 runs. So I feel like the offense is doing the things it needs to do. It's just a matter of, can the offense get good enough pitching, specifically in the bullpen, to kind of supplement what they're doing offensively?
We've been talking about this for months now. The Cubs' superpower is their offense. What they're able to do 1 through 9 on a nightly basis is what is going to not only going to get them to October, but it could be the thing that carries them once we get to the postseason. But it's really hard and taxing to try to win games 8-7 every night, 5-3 every night, right? Like, there are going to be points in a baseball season, because the ebbs and flows of a baseball season, where that offense isn't going to be clicking. There's going to be a stretch this year where PCA isn't going to be able to carry you for weeks on end. We've been seeing it. He's been doing it. But like we talked about with the bullpen, like you're going to have some clunkers in there, right? Baseball's really hard. Ask any hitter. Hitting is really hard, and you're going to have some stretches, even with as good as PCA has been, that you don't have a good stretch. You're going to go on an 0 for 8, a 0 for 12, a 0 for 15, and everybody's going to say, oh my God, what happened to PCA? Nothing. It's baseball. It's really hard. So for the Cubs, you want to be able to be consistent throughout the season. They've been able to show that they can do that. I think the fact that they can score runs without hitting the ball out of the ballpark shows you what type of offense they are. That's a very good trait to have. And we saw this weekend, they can still hit the ball out of the ballpark, right? But also, you're going to need the other hand, that starting pitching, to be able to carry you at moments throughout the year. We've seen them do it at times, but with some of the injuries that they've sustained so far this year, you're going to need them to step it up, even if it's, we call it 15-20%. To help that offense.
Okay, we'll see if the pitching gets better. Right now, let's go out to the phone lines again. 312-644-6767. We have Steve from Waukegan joining us here on Raheem and Harris. You're on the Score, Steve. Steve?
Hello?
Yes, you're on with Raheem and Harris. This is Russ Dorsey and Marshall Harris. What's going on?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I was just curious, you know, everybody's talking about the bullpen maybe needing a guy, or I know we need a starting pitcher or two, and maybe put Brown or Ray in the bullpen because they've been kind of getting lit up too, but nobody seems to address the bench. I mean, we got Turner, Brujan, and Birdie with one home run between them and like a .200 batting average between them. Are they doing anything to bring up some other kids or something to make that better?
No, I think that's an excellent point, Steve. I appreciate it. Russ, they've got to be in talks to do something to bolster that bench.
Yeah, Steve, I was just going to say, to your point, what you look at when you're talking about postseason teams, playoff teams, it's not always the big blockbuster, right? It's the move that you say, that's a nice little addition. I'll say last year, the Kansas City Royals were going to the postseason. They were in playoff positions. And at the end of the trade deadline, you know, you're waiting to see who makes a move before the deadline's up. And then there's those 3, 4, 5, 6 moves that trickle out after the deadline where it's like, okay, this corner outfielder bench bat is going here. Last year, I think of Paul DeJong going from the Chicago White Sox to the Kansas City Royals, a guy that hit left-handed pitching, a guy that played every infield spot for you. Like, that is the type of move that playoff teams make. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cubs, in addition to looking at starting pitching, maybe the bullpen, say, hey, how can we bolster this bullpen, and say, what's the matchup guy that we want on our bench? What's the guy that crushes left-handed pitching that we want on our bench? Maybe a fourth outfielder. But I agree with you. I think that is something, when you're talking about a team looking to make a run, that bench bat that you can rely on in different situations, that I think that's a really good piece.
Oh, no, the bench bat that crushes left-handed pitching, I think we're all waiting for that.
Yeah.
Because every time the Cubs go up against a left-handed ace, bad things happen. Because they don't have what they need. And Justin Turner, I'm sure he's a great clubhouse presence, but outside of a walk-off here and a strikeout there, he hasn't provided much in terms of depth for the Cubs. They need more, especially if they're going to be in this upper echelon of teams that we are going to talk about later on in the show. Russell Dorsey, happy to join us here on this Monday as Layla Rahimi has the day off. We will continue to talk about the Cubs, specifically Shota Imanaga is coming back. He is pitching this week. Who should go down? Also, Russ's World Series contenders as it stands today, who are they bidding against when they go out and look for this starting pitching? The bench bat, or maybe a high leverage reliever. We'll talk about that and much more when Rahimi and Harris continues right here on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm super proud of the way this rotation has pitched. All that said, I just think that, you know, the way the game is played now, you've got to just continue to add pitching when you can. So, yeah, there's a reason that all these teams are saying they need pitching, is because I think everyone has the sense that you can't have enough depth. Now, yeah, you have to acquire as much depth as you can, and I think we'll be certainly looking for that.
That was Jed Hoyer on Spiegel and Holmes last week talking about the arms race. And here's how the arms race goes. You never win because you can never have enough arms. So you're always just chasing more and more arms. And you have arms on your team. And you have to decide who you're going to DFA, who you are going to keep up. And a lot of big decisions coming this week for Jed Hoyer, because Shota Imanaga set to rejoin the Cubs starting rotation in St. Louis, presumably pitching Thursday, and now you have to find out what you're doing, who's moving out of the rotation. To help us talk about that, hey, I'm glad we got Russell Dorsey in for Layla Rahimi here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Reminder, you can give us a call. Tell us your thoughts on whether it's the bullpen, the starting pitching, the task ahead with the Cardinals in St. Louis for four. First time all season they've seen the Cardinals. Or maybe it's the next series over the weekend at the first place AL West Houston Astros that's giving you pause. Regardless, Russell Dorsey's here to talk about it. Let's start with this arms race thing. Before we get into how they might be adding players, let's first talk about Shota Imanaga coming back on Thursday. What's the play there, Russ? I think Colin Ray should be the one that moves out. He is a professional swingman. He was brought onto this staff to do just that. He has served a purpose. Things have gotten very, very ugly in the past few games for Colin Ray through no fault of his own, understanding that's not what he's here for. He's not here to be a top of the rotation guy.
Yeah.
Maybe you go with a 6-man rotation, but I think Colin Ray has certainly served a purpose here, but exposure is a thing. And I think with Colin Ray's performance over the weekend, giving up a lot of runs, but pitching some innings, it looks like he should be the man out. Not Ben Brown, not Cade Horton, certainly, as they're used to this role, and you don't want to mentally affect them with the quote-unquote demotion.
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point with the 6-man rotation idea. You could skip somebody in the rotation where it's not a permanent move, but allow somebody to get a break, whoever that is. I want to throw some numbers at you, Marshall. Over the last month, Colin Ray, Ben Brown have each had four starts, pitched five games because both came out of the bullpen once. Ben Brown, a 5.79 ERA in those five games. Colin Ray, a 6.41 ERA.
Neither of those are good.
In those five games. Right. And I look at it and I say, to your point, Colin Ray has done the swingman role a ton throughout his career. And you look at a guy that being able to have that versatility is a good skill to have. I also believe in the exposure thing. And sometimes teams are seeing you a lot. And at some point, if you're Ben Brown, like as a young player, you got to work through that. But do you think they could go wrong? Like, even if they decide to say, hey, Ben, it's going to be you. Do you think that's the worst move in the world?
I think if they do it with Ben Brown, though, they should keep him stretched out as a starter because they're going to need more starting pitching and send him down to AAA. I think that's the big thing because he has options. I think that's the biggest of those words. You could just keep him pitching, firing, and using those bullets because we know they're limited, right?
Right.
We know he's only pitched a certain amount of innings as a professional baseball player, and you want to make sure you get the most out of him. At that point, just keep him in the rotation. That's part of why I said Colin Ray is the more logical choice. Mm-hmm. You've got other guys you can get rid of and not feel bad about, but Colin Ray seems like a valuable person to have because of what he's able to do both as a starter and reliever in case, or might as well say it, if and when someone goes down, because that's how the nature of pitching works, right? You're going to have more injuries. It's very hard for me to sit here today and believe the Cubs will not have another starter miss a start.
Yeah, I think the point you make about options is huge because for everybody out there, when we're talking about all these transactions and what do you do and who do you move and what move do you make, a lot of these teams think about, okay, who can we move without losing that guy? Who has options? Who can we send to AAA? Doesn't mean they're going to be down there forever, but like who can we send down, bring them back up, and not risk losing them to another organization. So I do think that's a good point as well.
Let's go back out to the phone lines again. 312-644-6767. You can call us. You can text us. Let's go to Larry in Bolingbrook right now. Larry, you're on 670 The Score with Raheemy and Harris. Ryan Dorsey in for Layla.
Good morning, all. Something that I think the Cubs need to look at is what's going on down in Iowa. And we've all been watching Turner be the backup first baseman. He's a right-handed hitter, and you think he's gonna hit, but he's proven that he's probably had it. He's, old age is undefeated. And they got a guy down at Iowa, Jonathan Long, who in 70 games has 47 RBIs, 9 home runs, hitting .319 with an .883 OPS. And if I was him, he's right-handed, and he's a first baseman. If I was him, I'd be tearing my hair out. What do I have to do to get up here?
Well, I understand your point, Larry. This is the thing I'll say about that. When you say, what do I have to do to get up here, I think if he was playing across town on the south side, he wouldn't have to do much at all.
Right.
But it's a pecking order thing. It's going back to Russ said about guaranteed contracts. We know what they're paying Turner, and that's a guy that's supposed to be on your team unless it's time to make those final decisions, trade deadline or otherwise, right?
I will say to that point, you get to a point as a team that is trying to win it all, right? And we're seeing that the Cubs are feeling that way about themselves, that we are one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. You get to a point where you have to say, hey, we got to cut bait. You cut your losses. It's a sunk cost at this point. And if you feel that Justin Turner is no longer the option that you thought he was, you say, we appreciate your service and move on to a guy that you feel is a better option there as that bench bat that we talked about, being able to play first base that we talked about a little bit earlier. But I think you do think about these things if you're a team that is really serious about having success in the postseason and where you are, right? Like, good organizations don't let a move that they made 4, 5, 6 months ago define them once we get into the season and you're playing games. It's like, all right, who is going to help us win? And if we no longer feel like player X, whoever that is, isn't affecting winning, we have to find whoever that guy is.
Colin Ray has certainly helped this team win as a pitcher, both in the bullpen and then moved into the starting rotation. Here's what Craig Counsell had to say after a rough outing from Colin Ray yesterday.
Well, I think Colin's, continued to pitch well. Today is a day, we struggled with the bottom of their lineup. Colin struggled with their left-handed hitters. Their left-handed hitters did a really nice job against them. you know, and you struggle with the bottom lineup. And if you don't, you know, you go through a game and you know you're not getting the bottom of the lineup of a team out, it doesn't matter the team. You're gonna give up some runs. So he got us into the sixth inning, which on a day where we were light in the bullpen and needed to stay away from some people, there was real value in that. He got 16 outs, real value in that. We just gave up too many late.
All right, so you're hearing him talking about Colin Ray and him struggling. Here's the point I want to make about him and why the bullpen move is probably the best one for him right now, Russ. He gave up 7 runs going up against the Mariners. The start before that, he gave up 2 runs, but that was against the Pirates. Start before that, he gave up 4 runs against the Phillies. Start before that, gave up no runs. Nationals. Starts before that, back-to-back against the Reds, 6 runs and 6 runs. Start before that, 1 run. It was the White Sox.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can get you through against average to subpar hitters, but when you face a real team with real threats, that's where he struggles. So it's about that exposure, right? How much of Colin Ray are they seeing? In a bullpen role, the swing role, an occasional start, fine. But when you're throwing him out there every fifth day, he becomes exposed.
There was something that Craig Counsell said there that really stands out, and it's what teams look at in terms of modern-day pitching, especially from that back end of your rotation. He said he got 16 outs, and that's very valuable, a guy that can get that many outs. I don't know if if the Cubs even look at it like you and I are looking at it, right? Where they say, okay, whoever that fifth starter is, whether it's Ben Brown or Colin Ray, can you get us 15 outs? And anything above 15 outs is gravy. Because what Craig Counsell made it sound like there is that the fact that he got the 16 outs and could get into the sixth inning, just getting into the sixth inning is a win for them, a W, for lack of a better term.
Definitely was not a W because he gave up 11 hits and 4 home runs along the way, and it was 7 runs.
That's not what he made it sound like. He's we were able to get 16 outs in a game.
There are pitchers who can get 16 outs and give up 11 hits and 7 runs and 4 home runs, but you want to get there a little more efficiently.
I just don't know if the bar is the same when you're talking about for a fifth starter. Yeah.
Well, the Cubs need it to be the same. Otherwise, these other teams in the NL Central are going to creep up. Speaking of that, Bruce Levine, on with Mully and Hall this morning. You're wondering, okay, who's going to help the Cubs in the future? How long will we have to wait? Listen to what Bruce Levine said to Mully and Hall about the timetable for the Cubs maybe going out and getting another starting pitcher.
Before you guys let me go,
okay,
the Cubs are looking at adding that pitcher that we've been talking about, and it appears they're getting closer to identifying some of these teams that are out of it that want to trade. So I wouldn't be shocked over the next week or 10 days, much before the trading deadline, maybe as early as this week, that they make a move for another starting pitcher.
This week, you think the Cubs could make a move?
They could.
The way that David Haw responded to that, and Russ,
hold
I know.
Hold on.
Well, the reason he said it like that is because they started the interview and asked Bruce, where do you want to start? And then Bruce threw that in on the last question.
He buried the lead a little bit.
But that's okay because Bruce has got great information, and we're happy to have him here as a 670 Score baseball insider because he gives us tidbits such as that. And that's actually more than a tidbit. Does it make sense right now that they're out here looking for an arm? And seems like the selection is not plentiful when you're looking at a seller's market this far ahead of the trade deadline.
Of course they are looking and should be looking. I guess my question would be this, just purely thinking baseball here. If I'm a team that has a commodity that you as the Chicago Cubs or any other contending team in baseball wants, what would make me trade that player today as opposed to from a month from today, right? Like, especially when competition drives up prices, we know how expensive pitching is when it comes to the trade deadline and in free agency. Like, it makes more sense for Team X, whoever that might be, to hold on to that asset. I understand, you could get a couple more starts out of the guy. Maybe you get an extra prospect for doing that. But I think at the end of the day, especially we only have about 5 or 6, like, legitimate World Series contenders in baseball, and then there's a lot of in between.
Can't you get one? It's not even just those teams that you might be competing with. It might be one of those middling teams that says, you know what? We're one pitcher away from being in there with those other teams at the top of Major League Baseball. That would be my question.
Okay, I think one of the ways you could look at that if you're a seller right now is, I know which prospects I want from which organization. Sure. I have my list. And you're like, before more sellers become available because they are knocked out, I can just go get what I actually want right now and not have to deal with as much competition. I don't know if that's the right word in this, but other people throwing other starters that maybe weren't in the mix now, but will be a month from now.
Maybe.
And also, my player is healthy right now. I can move him before, I don't know, he gets hurt a la Chris Sale.
So that was going to be my next point. We have been talking about it for a while now. The Cubs need a frontline starter. Chris Sale just fractured his rib cage.
On his throwing side.
So I imagine Chris Sale is not going to be a guy that is on this year's market, right? Like, I don't know at his age, at 37, how quickly a broken bone heals, especially on that throwing side. Because he won't be able to throw for a while anyway. And then you're going to have to get him back on a schedule. Who is that guy? If Sandy Alcantara has not been good for the Miami Marlins this year, Zach Gallen has not been good for the Arizona Diamondbacks this year, and if Chris Sale is hurt, who is the frontline starter that you say, yeah, let's go and get this guy? Like, I don't know if that guy is necessarily out there. So now we're talking about I don't think Andrew Heaney's a frontline starter.
No.
But that would be another guy. Like, and that's a guy that you look at on a really bad team and say, okay, go get this guy. I know people throw Zach Eflin out there as a guy from the Baltimore Orioles. But once again, if it's a guy like that, why not, if you're the Baltimore Orioles or you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, hold off and say, hey, let's get some competition in here, because every team could use a middle-of-the-rotation starter. But this is not what we're talking about. Like, we're talking about who can start a playoff game for you.
Right.
And I just don't – I look around at the market and I say, who is that guy?
Well, that guy I'm listening to right now that you're listening to, that's Russell Dorsey, National Baseball Insider from Yahoo Sports, a great guy to have on a day such as this as the Cubs get ready to play four games against the St. Louis Cardinals, their first matchup with the Cardinals this season. Hard to believe we're this deep into the schedule. We will check back in with the text line, plus we will take some of these phone calls. If you've been waiting, we're going to get to you with more Raheemi and Harris, Russ Dorsey, in for Layla right here on 670.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If you look at this like it's a big week playing St. Louis and going to Houston, or is it too early for that?
I'll use the quote, biggest game of the year tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day.
Straight from the mouth of Cubs manager Craig Counsell, biggest game of the year today, and after they play that game, biggest game of the year the next day. And then biggest game, you get the drift. This is Raheemi and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla Raheemi on this Monday. We are talking baseball. We are talking possible trades. We are talking about a Bruce Levine report that the Cubs could make a deal for a starting pitcher in the next 7 to 10 days. So that got Russ to thinking, okay, well, why would you trade now if you could trade later and get more stuff for it? I will say this. You could get an enticing offer because a team wants to take this opportunity to separate themselves from the rest of the division, Cubs, with three other teams in the division who feel like they are within striking distance. The sooner the better you get one of these players, if you can get a pitcher who is not a middling pitcher, but a higher tier. I didn't say frontline, so I'm not saying Shota Imanaga and above. I'm just saying someone maybe better than what they have right now in the Colin Ray world of pitching.
The Cubs aren't in the NL East. They're not in the AL East. They're not in the AL West, where everybody's right on each other. And if you're a team in first place, you're looking behind you like, oh, shoot, here they come. Like, I don't know.
They are coming.
But hear me out. The St. Louis Cardinals are about to undergo a regime change next year, right? You're going from John Mozeliak to Chaim Bloom. You really think the Cardinals, where they are going to move assets to get whatever they need at the deadline to try to overtake the Cubs when you're going to change presidents of baseball operations? I don't think so. I have high doubts that that would happen. A team like the Milwaukee Brewers that rely so much on young talent, you look at what they're getting from Jacob Mizorowski right now, might be the most electric young pitcher that we've seen this year.
Oh.
You're looking at that guy. Like, when you have guys like that in your system, are you going to necessarily move them when you might move a guy like a Freddie Peralta and move on from him in a couple of years? I don't think so. So, like, I understand what you're saying. I would be looking more at the other teams in the National League, like the Padres, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Phils, and the Mets are the teams that are vying for those arms. I wouldn't necessarily be looking in the division and saying, oh my gosh, we got to do this move because here come the Milwaukee Brewers. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm really interested to see what Paul Skeens thinks about your declaration.
I said this year, because I'm talking about young, like,
He's made two starts.
And he's been electric in those two starts. He had a perfect game going into the seventh inning the other night.
I'm aware, but has Skeens not been electric?
Did you hear the qualifier that I said?
Yeah,
the best young pitcher, most electric that we've seen this year.
I think Skeens has been
We've been seeing Skeens for 2 years now.
Okay, so the first, making a debut pitcher, because they're both young.
Dude is throwing 96-mile-an-hour sliders. Now, I'm worried about that because it reminds me of young Noah Syndergaard that was doing that, and we saw how that went for his elbow. But, yeah, like I understand the thought process that you're talking about. I just don't know if I would look at the teams behind you if you're the Cubs and saying, oh, that's the reason that we have to make a move. You got to make a move because you need arms in that rotation.
Russell Dorsey clearly has been hanging out with Mark Grody, who is also not worried at all about the Cubs competition in the NL Central. Let's see what Michael from the South Side is worried about as we go back to the phones here on Raheem and Harris. Michael, you're on with Russell Dorsey and Marshall Harris hanging out. What's up?
Yeah, I want to make a point. The truth. Earlier in the year, the Cubs were hanging in there 500, basically a couple of hangings, you know, with that tough schedule here earlier in the year, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
And then they started, the schedule got incredibly soft, you know, with the Marlins, the Rockies, the Nationals, the Pirates, the White Sox. I mean, you know, they took advantage of that, right? They
16-5 in that 21-game stretch against sub-500 teams.
That was their opponent, right? But now, with these schedules coming a little bit tougher, they're not going to see those teams in a while, you know? And then that's when teams start to come back down to earth. To me, they haven't proven they could beat a 500 team yet, over 500. I mean, they've lost every series other than the Dodgers since then, right?
Not every series, but they have lost four. They're 4-11 in the last 15 games in the beginning of a 35-game stretch leading to the All-Star break where the Pirates were the only sub-500 team on the schedule. So I get your point. They're 22-6 against teams under 500. They are 24-25 against teams that are below 500, or excuse me, above 500. So I understand your point. I've been blasting the same horn you're talking about, Michael, because I think we're going to find out what's really good now that they got to play the Cardinals twice in four series. They got the Astros. They got the Cleveland Guardians. They've got the Twins and the Yankees, all teams firmly in the playoff picture. So your concern is what you're saying.
I'm saying at some point, like I say, Milwaukee, they're playing the Pirates and the Rockies this week, right?
They sure are.
They could be out of first place by this Sunday.
I mean, if they go 2-5 or...
You're correct, though. It's a fair... Like, if you go worst-case scenario, you're right. Like,
yes.
100% could happen.
It would
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't annoy them playoff... playoff yet. This is only halfway through the season. I want to say they are already in the bag right now because the schedule is not friendly right now.
Michael, we appreciate your call and your concern. I think it's a fair concern.
It is.
That's why I've been saying this stretch is going to be very definitive over what type of buttons Jed Hoyer pushes leading up to the trade deadline.
I agree. And to Michael's point, I looked through those quote-unquote postseason contenders that we talk about. The Phillies are 23-20 against teams over 500. The Mets are 24-20 against teams over 500. The Dodgers are 26-20 against teams over 500. The Tampa Bay Rays are 26-19 against teams over 500. You probably didn't know that. The Tampa Bay Rays are that they're real.
They're always real, though.
But I fell for the banana in the tailpipe this year.
Oh.
I said, oh, they're playing outside for the first time, and they don't necessarily have the players to compete in that division, and I thought the Red Sox would be better. The Yankees haven't played their best baseball. And
probably
here
didn't think
the
Orioles would be 11 games under 500 no. either.
So. I didn't think they were going to be great because they didn't make enough moves, but I didn't think they would be worst team in baseball.
Here's the news that we have. Shota Imanaga, according to Jesse Rogers of ESPN, is going to start on Thursday. Makes me wonder what's going to happen between now and then. We've got probable pitchers, but not for all the games. And I just think if you push back Colin Ray, perhaps, that could be the answer. I want to know which trade they're going to go after. It's going to be interesting. Let's take one more phone call real quick. Excuse me, we're not quite ready for that phone call. My bad. But Russell, to your point,
yeah,
on the contenders right now, you only see like seven teams competing for a World Series as it stands right now.
Yes.
And that would be the Cubs, the Dodgers,
yeah,
the Braves, the Phillies.
No, the Braves are not in there.
Or not, sorry. The Mets,
yes,
the Phillies,
yes,
the Astros, and the Yankees.
The Tigers.
Tigers. I said Tigers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody else is just kind of out here?
Yes.
Out here, no clothes on?
I think
buckets.
We do this thing where it's like, oh, this team is a contender. For what, though? Are they continuing to go to the playoffs? Because with the extra wild card spot, so are a lot of teams. Like, you just made the point, like, only four teams used to go to the playoffs, right? And so for me, I look at it and I say, well, who can compete to win the ultimate prize, which is winning a World Series? I look in the American League, and this is a down year for the American League, as we talked about on the show before. The Yankees, I know they've been going through a tough stretch, but I still think when it's all said and done, the Yankees are going to be there. I look at the Detroit Tigers, who are another team that could use a starting pitcher, right? And so I would throw their hat in the ring, especially they lost Jackson Job for the year undergoing Tommy John surgery. Like, Jack Flaherty has not been great this year.
They're going to need the Cubs.
They're going to need a guy that can start a playoff game for them. So I look at the Tigers as being a team that's there. The San Francisco Giants, I don't think they're better than the Dodgers, but I look at what they've been able to do. They just got new life, adding Rafael Devers to the middle of their lineup, a superstar caliber bat that's going to be there for a long time. I think you look at them now and say, hey, if they got in with the pitching that they have, they can upset somebody once we get to the postseason. So, yeah, I just think that we need to be – there are not that many teams that I would anoint and say, yeah, this team could win it all.
So the Rafael Devers trade was the biggest trade we had had across all sports until yesterday when the NBA said, Game 7, what's that? And a big trade, Kevin Durant changing residences once again. We're going to talk about that. Plus, the Tyrese Halliburton injury.
Sad.
That just took the air out of all my tires last night. And I think the Pacers were going to... the Pacers were right there to win that game and pull off the biggest upset in NBA Finals history.
They would have had a shot, yeah.
That plus Trista Crick will join us and share her thoughts. More Raheem and Harris, Russell Dorsey in for Layla right here on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.